Hello and welcome back to your one and only Source Summer Fridays edition. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline. And I'll be honest, when we were getting on, or like earlier when we were talking about getting on, I was like, God, like how am I going to rally for this? I'm so tired today. So much is happening. And then I was like, well, Caroline, really, what is the difference between getting on to talk about reality TV with Phoebe into a microphone or the inevitable FaceTime at 4 a.m. when we both find ourselves awake and want to talk about reality TV? Like, really, what is the difference?
You know? It doesn't happen often, but last night,
well,
I rallied.
It has happened the past 2 weeks, like clockwork, the night before we record. And then we get on and act like it didn't happen.
That's true, I guess.
It literally was like the exact same thing. I called you last week. You called me this week.
Yeah.
Next but, like, week, that's we'll what I mean, be like, together. So we won't
normally,
have to. I'll be knock on your door.
Normally, I'm good on weeknights for the most part. But last night, I rallied. I went out.
I could tell. She was chatty. And we were like talking. And then like, I was so tired and like kind of not in the mood to chat, but like she was chatting. So I was like, whatever, I'll chat. And then stop, I'm getting there. And then I started getting a thought that I really needed to get out. And my phone died in the middle of it. Swiftly called her back on my iPad. Said,
well, no, what's even better is it like looks like it was bad connection.
Yeah, like I tried calling you and it like didn't go through. So
I took that as me, like, I was like, oh, the call is over. I texted Caroline, bad connection, and she was like, call back.
Well, that's because, like, of course, like, if Phoebe was in the middle of, like, a really impressive, deep thought, she would have also been like, you need to call me back. But instead, she was listening to mine. She was like, you know what? I'm good on that. You know what? Wherever that was going, none of my business. That's what Phoebe said.
You're right.
I don't even remember what we were talking about, but we were talking about some good merch ideas, and... But then, like, I know you were drunk, because then you texted me today, the merch idea that, like, I had already written in a note. I called you to, like, or you called me, but I read you from the note that I had made.
I know, but for some reason in my brain, we hadn't, like, I just thought we were kind of, like, brainstorming, you and me.
We were, but I had already been doing, like, solo brainstorming. I came to the meeting prepared with notes.
Well, it wasn't a meeting.
Well,
I started the
every
meeting.
Every time we talk, it's kind of a meeting.
But all I mean
of
is...
the minds.
I saw our story post that you posted that said, it's giving, I don't think of you. And I was like, oh, like, I remember us talking about that. We can't lose it.
Because
when we talk here, we like.
We don't remember a damn thing. No,
exactly.
I know. And that's the only reason I did remember that is because I had already written it down. But guys, spoiler, we're definitely designing some kind of merch that says, I don't think of you. How could we not? We have some good ideas. We're cooking. Phoebe and I are going to be together for like the next week. On and off. But it's going to be great.
Like, wait, kind of longer than that though, low key.
Okay, so you come into Pittsburgh Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I leave here Wednesday morning. So have a few days. I
just
go to Connecticut.
Just 2 days apart.
Yeah, 2 days
apart.
When
do you get into Boston?
How will we manage? We are driving to Boston from Connecticut on Friday.
Okay, yeah, that's when I get into Boston, Friday.
Cool. And then we'll be in Boston, and then I come home on the 6th. You come home on the 7th to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And then
oh,
when
we
you
don't
go back
fly home the same day. Yeah, no. And then I'm leaving the following Saturday or Sunday.
Fuck, yes. Let's just say Sunday, and I think that sounds
and
great.
I took that whole week off after the 4th.
Wow, we're going to have so much fun. So Phoebe and I are going to be together. The next few episodes, you're not going to get videos because they are going to be live and in person. And if you think we're going to record ourselves and we're basically laying horizontal in a room in the dark talking, you're crazy. Not doing that. But there will be content to be had. And I will say next week on July 3rd, you are not going to get a Summer Fridays episode because I'm officiating a wedding on July 2nd. And there's just no way we're going to be able to record it that night. So, so no Summer Fridays on the 3rd, but we will be back in action the following week. Okay, should we start with Love Island? Because I feel like there's
I mean, that's
so going
to take up the
say.
Bulk of our...
Yeah.
Well, actually, wait, let's get a few minor things out of the way, I think.
And guys, just so you know, anything that like we don't touch on or that we need to expand on but we hold ourselves back from, we have a Other People's Business Patreon episode coming out before July 1st, so we'll just continue that conversation there. So if you wanted anything else, or like you listen to this and you're like, wait, talk about this more, you can comment and then we'll put it in that episode. Okay.
Oh, anyway, you were saying. I think we should start with the whiteboard.
Okay. So the whiteboard Phoebe's talking about, what are those videos called? Like when they do them for other shows?
I don't know what they call them, but you guys would recognize it. Like West, it's this guy teaching like West and this other guy, like about, I think it started with like, let me explain Scandoval. Let me explain all these like reality Von T's, like these things.
Yes.
And everybody, when the whole Scamanda thing happened, we were like, well,
what a shame.
Is this our, you know, all right. You guys are all big and tough.
But here is the thing, though. Why does it kind of annoy me that they did? So what it is it's a whiteboard with like all these terms on it. And there's a guy up there who's like explaining it and he's connecting all the dots and whatever. And he is teaching, as Phoebe said, two other guys. One of them is Wes Wilson. And so like, certainly it never crossed my mind that they would go there with Scamanda, considering Wes is involved. Or if they did, he wouldn't be part of it. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the fact that they did that, like, pisses me off. Like, I know that the guy asked better questions, honestly, than Andy, but I'm like, there's something a little bit, like, smug about it. There's something a little bit, do you think this is a joke?
It's almost like deciding to do an Uber Eats ad.
It's like, I get that it's your own life that you're capitalizing off of, but, like, that, let's just
but it's
be clear
also
that
not
that is what you're doing.
But what I would do to be a fly on the wall at Andy Cohen's next all hands meeting at Bravo, because
oh
like,
my God,
I already know they're pissed off about his other podcast where he's like suddenly has all these things to say.
Yeah,
and this is just even worse because like now he's like. I like what Lindsay said on Threads. I'm like, why is everyone on Threads? But like Lindsay.
I know. Unfortunately, Threads is reeling me in. It's threading me in because
I'm like,
they
are
have
you guys
entire
paid?
Communities.
Are you guys getting paid?
Maybe, but I understand the allure if you're a reality TV head because they have an entire community that's like just Love Island. So like you can scroll a feed that's only about Love Island.
Mm-hmm.
And like thing and you can post things in there. It's so, like and they have that for everything. So I do kind of like that because it's like a centralized place to see everything rather than like searching, you know, the term.
Yeah. Lindsay threaded that.
Threaded
she was like,
needle.
Wait, so I'm meant to believe that suddenly a month is a quote, really long time because like
Wes Wilson,
they're saying that if we're to believe what they said at the reunion, that they started kissing at the end of February. That doesn't really make sense with what Wes said, which is we had been, like, kissing and having sleepovers for a long time.
Yeah.
But like, again, in his words, we weren't DNV.
But at the same time, I will take us back to the conversation a few summers ago when he and Sierra were talking. And he was, well, they were, like, you know, talking, but he was physically talking to, like, Paige and Amanda, I think. And he was like, so do you guys have sex on the first date? And they're like talking about this and like how long it takes them. And he's like, because I'm going on like 4 weekends or something. And he's talking about how that's like such a long time. So I am like, I guess in that sense, for him to not be having sex in his mind, that is maybe a long time. But if we're looking at it from the terms of like commitment for Wes, mm-hmm. and like he could be with somebody for a full year and be like, it was a month.
And he was.
Like it could feel like a month to him. You know what I mean? Exactly. So that's where I'm like, it's a little bit. There's a little bit of a discrepancy there for me. It drives me nuts, though, that he goes, I mean, we fucked, like, the night of the statement, which also, LOL, because
Amanda didn't say that.
Amanda said, not that night, but the next whatever. It's like, I don't know when you're lying, when you're telling the truth, like, and maybe you've designed it that way. Maybe you don't want me to be able
to
tell.
This is a nitpicky thing, but, and it happens on Love Island all the time. Okay. And it goes back to what we were saying about our literacy crisis in this country. Mm-hmm. Fucking becoming.
Speaking of, quick note, epitome.
Epitome is epic. Epitome is
sincere
epic.
Is the epitome of
stupid.
Stupidity.
Except he wants an educated girl. He said.
Right. Well, because she has to teach him how to say words. She has to teach him phonics. Yeah. Like he doesn't just want an educated girl. He needs one.
Fuck. What was I saying?
I'm sorry. That's on me.
What was I saying?
You were like, this is nitpicky, and they do it on Love Island all the time.
Oh, yeah. Fucking has become a filler word.
Yeah, and so it's bruh.
Like, West is, like, it. I know this is, like, a Disney fucking story, but, like, I, like, liked that, like, I saw her fucking, like, smile. Like, yeah. I was fucking showing her around New York. It's like, you, like, shut up.
And also, they're, like, you know, just, like, fucking, like, what? It's, like, it's not, Like,
exactly.
You don't need to use it as you would use the word like. You don't need to use it that way. And you also don't need to use it as the word,
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't pack the same. It's because everyone started using the C word. So they're like, who needs the F word anymore? It's child's play. You know what I mean? It's like that word is like, just like throw that thing anywhere, you know? Like, who cares? We have this other word now. Anyway, I there's something smug about it. And I'm also like, so are we just not going to see you ever like face the music about like you lying to Andy Cohen over and over and over again? I know you left the show. That feels like a treat for you. Like, not that I want him in the show, but there is a world where I'm like, no, lock him in the house.
Like, there
don't
was
let him go back to New York during the week, you know? Like,
even though it ruined Vanderpump, there was something nice about having to watch the fallout of Sandoval's life. And, like, I mean, I don't really
think that's what we're interested in here. Like, that's why we're all watching In the City. Not that it's not a good show, but like,
Sandoval didn't have to face that many consequences.
No.
But it was still like, there was a level of accountability that I think I appreciated in the 11th season of Vanderpump that now we're not going to get with West. I'm just going to see West because he thinks he's found this audience in Complex, like the people that consume that content, that
the
like
guys, girls, and the bros,
they're doing. I mean, he's gonna do what I think I've talked about this phenomenon before, but like with Matt Rife when he was canceled, instead of atoning for what he did and what he said and like how it was offensive, he just really honed
went
in
that
on
direction.
The right
like
side
Shane
of
Gillis
things.
Did that too when he got like dumped from SNL, and then like,
and they're
like,
okay, I'll just
well,
find an audience that appreciates it.
I know.
And I think that's what Wes is going to try to do. But I think Amanda's going to want to stay on In the City.
Well, what
if
else
she can,
will she do?
If they will
you
let
know
her.
What I mean? It's all she has. I have a half a mind that she would stay on Summer House.
I was like, also like surprised that Wes said that he's met the parents.
I wasn't that surprised because I also bet they could have met in like a friendly way for. Like,
no,
you know what I mean?
Do think that, but I think that the context of the question and then when he said the thing about Frank, it gave like, yeah, we've met since this has happened.
It doesn't surprise me at all that Amanda would be ready to bring West home to meet her parents because she's so set on convincing everybody in her life that it's real and it has to mean something so that it's
so
worth all
embarrassing
of this, which
it's
by the way
so
it never will be because this relationship, it could be the greatest love story of all time, it will never be worth what you sacrificed in your friendship with Sierra. Let's just be clear,
because that was the greatest love story of all
exactly.
time
exactly like that's what you
and the thing is about this
and
is like,
what I hate about Amanda, she's the kind of person that will never admit that.
Mm-mm. Well, it's like what we saw in The Blind that was like Amanda said, well, she wasn't really your ex.
That disgusted me.
Hey,
like,
Amanda.
if I had heard that at a bar,
I'm having
a
physical reaction. I'm Tom Sandoval throwing you into a fire pit.
I'm throwing you into a fire pit now. By the way, Tom Sandoval taking a page out of my ex-boyfriend's book. I've told that story on pod. Yeah. Don't try flirting with me.
He was on drugs.
Okay,
and
by the way, if I were in Fiji right now, I can think of a few men who would also be in the fire pit.
Hey, Ariana, you have one job tomorrow.
Come on. I know you've been working out with that personal trainer boyfriend of yours. Let's put those muscles to the test, okay? Next time you come in, I want to see you in an MMA outfit. What?
I can't believe she's still with him.
You're mad about it. You want her with
Tom. I just don't love
him. God, you're sick.
Imagine, I'm like, yeah, I just miss
them. I just am really hoping they get back together.
I just miss who she was when she was with Tom.
They were just like the coolest, like
they were
Coachella
so cool.
Couple.
They were so cool
they
and
were,
like they didn't
honestly,
care what anyone
I'll
thought.
Just say it,
they were
bored
like
fucking cool. I'm sorry, but that is such a good line though. Ariana saying, "Oh, I was born fucking cool." It's
well, that's
I mean,
when that's when Ariana and I think this is what made Tom drove Tom away eventually was like I think Ariana did become cool.
Yeah,
like, at a certain like at that wedding, like around that time period of the show.
Yeah.
Ariana found her voice in a way that she hadn't before, like when we first met her.
Yes.
Like she, and I think maybe part of it is like we were maybe seeing a realer side of her. I think in the beginning of the show, she was probably like super hard exterior. I want to be the cool.
Well, and also I feel like she had to prove so much that she and Tom were like different, like that she couldn't let herself settle in. It's almost like Wes and Amanda vibes where like they had to make it count. And then once it got past that point, she was like, okay, now I can settle in and like be myself a little bit more.
I just like, I have such a distaste for Amanda. And
yeah,
I'm just,
I
mean, like,
she makes me mad just even seeing her talking to her dad, like on In the City. Did you watch?
No, but I saw clips of it because I saw the clip where she brings up Kyle's cheating again. Yeah. And like, Amanda, here's what I have to say about the cheating. And again, I really hate that like the situation has made me come out in defense of Kyle, because cheating is wrong no matter when, why, or how you do it. But you guys were married for 10 years. And the stuff you keep bringing up is from, like, before you were married. And anything that you bring up that happened after it, I'm sorry. I just feel like I'm in a place with Bravo where I'm like, there would be proof. If Kyle was doing the shit you're saying, the same way that apparently there was this video of you, Amanda, at West apartment that made you guys release the statement. I don't believe, especially because of how the Bravoverse was championing Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
In that relationship for so long, like to get out of it. And like we wanted to see her away from Kyle. I don't believe that if any person who watches Bravo saw Kyle fucking around, they wouldn't have filmed it and posted it.
100%. We were all so ready to take
him
down.
They weren't just DMing it to you, Amanda. Like,
yeah, exactly. And the other thing about that is like, And again, yeah, I do. I hate that this situation has made me, like, end up on this side of things. But one thing I think is really, like, crucial to note here is that, Amanda, this whole relationship of yours and Kyle's, we have watched for its entirety. It's never been a good relationship, and we've seen all these horrible things on the weekends, right? And it's like, now we're getting a picture of what it actually was like and all the things that Kyle actually protected you from. You go in the summer house and you start, get out your megaphone and talk about all of his wrongdoings. He's not, I mean, occasionally he would have an outburst and talk about yours and everybody would be like, oh my God. But I think honestly, he was keeping it in as much as he could and trying to protect her as much as he could, which he's still doing now. Like the amount of things that have come out just about who she is as a person and how she lives and things like that, that like, definitely aren't
well, even
new,
like her
we didn't
her
know about
knowing,
because
and this is just like basic, I feel like, and I'm obviously not married, but like basic relationship stuff of respecting your partner and understanding your partner. And she knows that Kyle is more type A than her and wants to live in a clean space. And so it's so disrespectful to, number one, move out when he doesn't want you to. And to just say this is what you're doing.
And tell and your dad that it was mutual and then be like, well,
and
okay,
then expect
that kind of an, oh, you missed that conversation. Her dad asks her, he's like, so I thought this was like a mutual thing, like you both want it. And she's like, well, no, I mean, it was definitely like mutual. Like Kyle understands why it needs to happen. But like, I definitely, like, I would say I spearheaded it. But like, I would say, I mean, he's happy, I think. Like, and her dad's like, okay, like, literally can tell that like she lied to him, said that like it was totally mutual. And now she's like, well,
yeah.
No, it wasn't. But anyway.
Well, so there's that. There's that aspect of it. But then also, you're refusing to move. You want Kyle to move all the stuff you want to your new apartment.
Yeah.
But not your clutter.
Right.
You're perfectly fine leaving all the shit in that house so that he can't have a. You can go live in your dream apartment for a year by yourself, even though he doesn't want you to, and he has to sit there with all of your gross fucking shit. You just shop, at this point, you're just shopping out of West's hamper, so I don't understand why you have to have all of these clothes that it's, like, filling the shower and the windowsills and the beds. Like, I don't understand.
I'm sorry, rent is too expensive in New York for you to be using your space that way. Also, I think
I just will still never get over it's a 12-month lease.
What the hey?
Can you believe it? Can you believe?
Right.
Can you believe in New York?
That's it.
It was hard to find like a 3-week lease. It's hard.
Like crazy.
I
Lindsay's like, did you try they probably don't call it this anymore, but there used to be a Facebook group called, I'm going to say it just because it was the name of it, but I don't think they call it this anymore.
I know Gypsy what we're going to say. Yeah, I figure that's what you're going to say.
And it was like sublets. It's probably like, Lindsay's like, have you tried this Facebook group? I can find you a 72 hours.
And it'll be furnished.
Yeah. Yeah, it might smell a little bit like weed, and you might have a roommate who sings really, really early in the morning.
Well, that's
but,
just like, I mean, the weed thing isn't really
issue. Actually, she'd probably love that. She'd be like right at home. She just wants to go be in college. But the thing is, like you're saying, it's so disrespectful to like know how your partner is and purposely live a way that like.
Which now, like, again, we haven't wanted to see this about Kyle. Or, like, we haven't wanted to give Kyle the benefit of the doubt because of how terribly he speaks to her. Mm-hmm. But now that we're getting a picture of like what their 5 day a week, like what the middle of their week was like, it's like, Amanda,
yeah,
you were a shitty fucking partner.
It's also the like, on top of just the baseline disrespect, you weren't paying rent. Like, you knew how much he was struggling financially. You weren't paying rent,
and Amanda,
and
you like
were doing
fucking,
that, and you're still
you, like,
doing
trust
that.
Funded? Like, Amanda, like, is, like, gonna be rich, right?
Probably.
Like, her
and
parents
the
are really
wealthy.
And
the other thing on top of that is, like, it is a testament to how much he loved her. Because it's mm-hmm. like, okay, we know what kind of a person he is and how he wants to live. And he allowed her to have this space like this. Like, whether or not, I mean, like, he could have had her. Here's the thing. I do not want to downplay, like, his mm-mm. emotional and verbal abuse. And any kind of physical cheating or anything, whatever. I don't want to downplay it, but I am just like, girl, he could have made you genuinely scared of him and genuinely need to shut down so that you had this place spick and span, like Dad used to say, you know, like so that you were like, I can't have my shit everywhere. I can't do mm-hmm. the things I want to do. I can't smoke pot all day. I can't be lazy. I can't have shit everywhere.
It's starting
because my husband will come home
exactly.
and fucking scream at me about it. And it's like, to me, the fact that he wasn't doing that, despite the fact that she didn't pay
rent, it's like he only, and this
things,
isn't an excuse for him ever yelling at her like this. But the fact that the only times he did was when he was blackout drunk on the weekends, it's like, I'm getting
well,
a picture
after,
of the
after
relationship
a night of her
now.
Publicly humiliating him.
Exactly. There's that know? Aspect of it. And it's also just, there are so many different ways to abuse partners. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like it was a very, like, tit for tat thing with Amanda where, like, she would withhold. She would purposely do things that she knew would irk him mm-hmm. and provoke him a little bit throughout the week and kind of get him to that boiling yeah. point and then play victim when he would inevitably explode. Instead
right.
of going, and this is why I think she was always pissed leaving
it's
couples therapy.
Serena.
Yeah. Well, I think this is why she would leave pissed at couples therapy, because I bet when they would lay it all out and the therapist is getting the whole picture of the week mm-hmm. and the summer house audience forever has been gassing up Amanda based on just 2 days of their whole lives every yeah. week. The therapist was probably like, Amanda.
Yeah.
Do you see how certain things you do could, it's not an excuse for how, Kyle, we need to work on your delivery
yeah.
and how you treat her and how you speak to her and how you handle your frustration. But Amanda, do you see how your actions are contributing to his overall
100%.
Irritability?
I think that anytime she has to face any amount of accountability, she blows the
shuts
fuck
down.
Up and freaks out and shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that's probably a really big reason they didn't go to therapy for so long. She kept being like, well, I'd yeah. go to therapy, but like Kyle won't. And then we hear Kyle like, I've been trying to go to therapy with her for years. It's like, well, of course she doesn't want to go to therapy because she doesn't want to look in the mirror. She likes
exactly.
watching the television and seeing you be this big problem. But it's like, again, she set this trap and then you react a certain way. And again, you still shouldn't have reacted that way. However, we're just getting so much more of the picture now that it makes mm-hmm. me rethink a lot of things. Now, I still, like, gun to my head, wouldn't ever want to be in a relationship with Kyle Cook and wouldn't
no.
want that for my friends.
Uh-uh.
But I don't think that Amanda, like, Amanda, let's just talk about your contributions to the dissolution of this relationship.
I also wouldn't want someone that I know and love to be in a relationship with Amanda Petula.
Hell no. I mean, Amanda Petula needs to be by herself.
The last couple things I want to say about this is, one, Wes is still just living to embarrass the shit out of Amanda.
Yeah.
Everything in that whiteboard, I'm like, you're discounting things she said. You're saying the complete opposite of things she said.
When he said the statement, oh, that's the worst thing I ever did. Oh, I'm sure Amanda loved hearing that.
Yeah,
because also now I do actually think ChatGPT wrote it. I think that Amanda like made it a joke at the reunion, but it was actually true. And because he was like, they're like, who wrote it? And he's like, not us. And not a PR team.
So who else?
So then who?
Neither of, I also think it's good, crazy that he was willing to say, yeah, I think that is what Amanda said at the Yankees game. If I was dating West and he said, yeah, I think she probably did say, like, act like you like me.
No, and also, if I was dating West and I've pretty much gone on record saying I wasn't on drugs at the reunion and that I blacked out because of my marriage and what I had to go through and how that was so triggering for me.
I hate when people yell at me, I disassociate.
It's like how I got through my marriage. When she says that, it's like, okay. Then West is like, no, yeah, she was on Xanax. Okay, holy got shit. It. I mean, if I was Amanda, but again, she's just trapped. She's trapped.
She doesn't
herself.
Care. But also,
she might care, but she can't do anything about it.
No, but also, even if she did care, she is so hellbent on winning.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, again, we see that with her saying that Sierra wasn't really his ex. Like, things like that. It's like, dude, you are like one of the worst kinds of humans you could ever have a friendship or relationship with. You were despicable. And then there's also, finally, and this is just, I don't want to bash on a woman this whole time. We'll round it out with bashing on West.
We'll get to Casa more and you guys will feel satiated.
But with West, I mean, he continues to prove Sierra right in terms of his resentment for Sierra and how he is wanted to embarrass her. Mm-hmm. Because when he brought up, like, yeah, like, first of all, the Jesse thing. Mm-hmm. And then when Sierra didn't, like, give him the attention he wanted, he said, yeah, I started, like, inviting hot girls to the parties. And, like, yeah, I purposely made out with one right next to her. Like,
then Sierra wanted to have a talk. Okay, you master manipulator, admitting live on air, you're literally giving Robert Durst. I forgot his name.
You think he's giving Robert Durst?
Yeah, because I'm like, you're incriminating yourself.
I think he's giving like Dirty John or like Frank Abagnale Jr.
I mean, I'm joking.
Jr.
He's obviously not giving Robert Durst. I'm just saying like the way that he went in the bathroom and said, of course I fucking did it. Yeah, that's what West is doing. West doesn't even realize he's doing it.
Wait, I wish we had gotten that moment at the reunion, him in the bathroom.
Of course I did.
Yeah, see, Wes, if you really wanted to gain favor with your audience, that's what you would have done.
But also him not even, like, remembering that he said certain things about, like, him saying he was zen, all these things.
I think did I say that? And then he's like, oh, it's so funny. Like, he's like, nobody said that?
I feel like he thinks he's an actor in a TV show. It's fiction.
He thinks he's in The Truman Show, yes.
And it's like, Wes, you suck.
That's why he's so addicted to, like, it's like you get on this stage and you can't take any accountability and you're a mute, but then you have a podcast, you have complex, you are addicted to yourself on screen. Like,
well,
you want
also
your face
like
everywhere.
I hate to go after one of our own in this way, but like part of me is like, oh, you're Mr. Liberal when it gets you clout with the girls in the West End, West Village, but then you have your fucking podcast with your MAGA Barbie co-host, kind of like
Sophie
Caroline
Cunningham
has her
MAGA? Part.
That they call her MAGA Barbie.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Kind of like how Caroline like says she's this massive liberal and then she has a podcast
with
someone who's MAGA.
With my MAGA sister. God, we're just as bad as the toast.
Hey guys, I'm gonna say this out loud, which is one more time. Not MAGA.
Not MAGA.
Don't have to worry about it.
Vote blue. Just look at our reviews and you'll immediately know what kind of podcast we are, because now all our reviews are like, we love this liberal podcast. And I'm like, yes. I just want people to know what they're getting into. The last thing I want to say about the Amanda Summer House and the city, all of this, is I saw a tweet that truly chilled me to my core. And it was this. If it is true, as Kyle says, that they have not been intimate in 4 years, the entirety of their marriage.
I know exactly. I saw the same tweet.
Well, then let's just take it back to when Amanda was so stressed about her fertility that she wanted to get her fertility checked. And Sierra, being a good friend, said, I'll do it with you. And they do it together. And Amanda's comes back totally fine. And Sierra gets bad news. If it is true that they had not been intimate and this was a storyline, just another drop in the fuck you, Amanda Bethula bucket for me.
Well, it's like just
deeply dark. It's so sinister.
Yeah.
That is the word. It's the only word for it. I'm like, she's sinister. A scary, sinister type of woman.
And she's the worst kind of friend you could ever have. Like, for real. Yeah.
She's dangerous.
Okay. Dangerous.
Dangerous. Absolutely. Yes. Well, because she has no regard for the consequences of her actions, and she expects and creates situations where other people have to deal with the consequences that she should have to deal with. So, like, she is dangerous. This is how much I care. Exactly. Exactly.
But right before you hop into Love Island, I just need to ask, did you watch Alicia on Therapus?
No, I've been seeing the clips, though. I will be watching.
Caroline, it's one of the best hours of my whole life.
I have no doubt. I love her so much.
She evokes something in me where I am just like, you are my soul sister.
Protect her at all costs. Keep her on my screen at all costs. Bravo. Do you hear me? Protect Alicia Carmody. Okay? Whatever she wants, you give it to her. You make it happen.
I love her.
We need her on the screens. Okay? We need her.
She is so fucking good.
I mean, she is, and she really has every angle. She hits every single beat. You know, she's
my
got
one
the
issue with
sweetie
her.
Sweetie pie, good girl. And then she's got the,
yeah,
you're a whore. You're a whore.
Don't fucking say
welcome
that.
To
you
Rhode
don't
Island,
fucking,
bitch. This is how
you don't
we
wanna
do
fucking
it.
Go there with me. You don't want to
fucking
go there
with
me.
Me.
What I will
Rosie,
say.
You know I love you, Rosie. But yeah,
that, okay,
sorry,
that
I'm but, over it.
Well, she said something. She was like, and actually, I thought Jake made a really good point, and he did a little pre-show,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, something about housewives that I think is honestly a good example for a lot of people is like, they can have the worst conflict you think you've ever seen in your life. Mm-hmm. They can have the Lisa Barlow, Meredith Marks blowout mm-hmm. fight in Aspen, wherever they were. But then because they're on the show, they have to figure out a way to move forward.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being like, net positive, like their friendship comes back stronger afterwards. And Alicia mentioned that in real life, if she and Liz had had that conflict about the homeless, you were never homeless.
You were never homeless. You were
if
never
they had had, she was,
homeless.
She was like, if we had had that fight without the cameras, I probably would still not be speaking to Liz. But because we have the show, it's forced me to, like, not hold that grudge. And I've had to work through it and, like, figure out how to move forward with her. And I think that that's a really good example for people.
Mm. Yeah.
Not everyone. There are some people that are meant to be left in the dust. But
yeah, no, for sure. No.
That's when they're telling me. It's like Ariana and Lala not liking each other and then being able to overcome it because they had to film. But then ultimately they both step away from the show and they aren't friends anymore.
I'd be willing and able.
Exactly. Bingo.
You know, I will say, like, as much as, you know, the rumors that Liz is leaving Rhode Island, leaving the show, and I know that, like, she's a problem, but here's the deal. She's the Wicked Witch of Rhode Island.
But how much of a problem is she, though?
I'm like, okay, so she's pulling hair. Like, I've seen worse. I've seen literal extortion.
Wait. That's what people are saying?
No, it's not what they're saying. She did.
No. People are saying she should leave because of that.
No, she's like maybe going to leave. Like there are all these blinds about how she's going to leave because she doesn't really want to get caught with whatever's going on with the drug stuff.
Oh.
And like a lot of people are like, yeah, she like
and
should
hey, girl,
leave
here's,
because
here's what
she's
I have to
like
say to you,
so
Liz.
Mean and she whatever.
Liz.
But like, hey, guess what? It's awesome to watch.
Good idea, Joellen. Oh, Dolly, that's a great idea, Joellen.
I mean, why would I not want that every Sunday?
Also, it's like, hey, Liz, greater things have been done. Jen Shaw is back in the public eye.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Liz,
like you're good.
Hey, Liz, okay.
Teresa Giudice is about to be invited back.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry. We have a long storied history of women being forgiven. We're good with criminals.
Hey, the Bravo community is very forgiving when it comes to full federal crime.
Absolutely.
When it comes to betraying your best friend.
Now that's where you're a stupid whore. You're a stupid
slam
whore.
Slam pig. You're a slam pig.
You're a slam pig. Really, Rosie? You think I'm a slam pig? Am I a slam pig? Am I a slam pig?
Do I pump and dump?
Do
Am
I pump
I
and
large
dump? Because that's the definition of
pumps
a slam
and
pig.
Dumps.
Do I pump and dump? Am I a slam pig?
Guys, we say this about every Bravo show, but like truly they have struck gold in a way I don't think they ever have.
I mean, to think like it's a level of entertainment we don't typically get from a season.
Another
one.
Thing that Jake Shane said that I thought was a really good observation that I think we've made similar observations before, but it's just because he was explaining to Rosie or to Alicia what Bravo shows he watches, and she was like, I'm a huge New Jersey fan and mm-hmm. Salt Lake and everything. And she will be making a cameo in Girls Trip. I don't know if she was supposed to say that, but she did say
George.
It in the episode. She's in the finale. Because that's when she meets, I think, like Heather or someone. Oh. Like someone from Salt Lake. Or Angie K. She meets someone.
Good.
She meets Angie K.
Opa! Because
Billy is Greek.
Okay.
And Alicia has real issues
with how much Billy
has to talk about Greece.
Well, she's going to love Angie K, honestly.
She says that in Therapist. But he was like, he's watching early Roni like you and me are. We're all on the same journey here. And he was like, you get to something like Scary Island. And at that time, in that era of Housewives, it took 2.5 seasons, 3 seasons to build up to something like that. Whereas now, it's like...
We have multiple... I haven't gotten to Scary Island yet, but we have multiple... massive things. I mean, you think episodes you could believe are the finale if it wasn't the second episode of the season. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There are so many things that happen in the show in one season. It's like, typically it takes a few seasons to ramp up to get to a place like this.
Exactly.
But also, typically this much is not in one season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
And that's what's so special about Rhode Island.
It's a special place. I want to visit. I want to make a pilgrimage. It's an amazing show.
We need to make our
Sunday. We can watch it together.
We need to make a Rhode Island, or not a Real Housewife. Like,
I know.
Bucket
we need to
list
go on a cross
spot.
Country road trip. Rent a Volkswagen.
Well,
van.
No, international, because we. I want
well,
to go
we'll
to the.
Start, we'll start in the continental U.S. Like,
I want to go to the restaurant where.
You know that feeling when you're reading a thriller and you tell yourself, okay, just one more chapter, and then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're questioning every character's motives? Yeah, that's exactly the vibe of Not What It Seems by number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. I recently got into this one and it absolutely hooked me. It starts with what looks like a simple accident in Georgia's eerie Lowcountry marshes, but then investigators find a polished stone beside the body, etched with a bloody number and a strange symbol, and that's when things get weird. Soon, more bodies start turning up, more stones appear, and crime reporter Nikki Gillette can't stop digging for answers, even when it becomes clear she's putting herself directly in a killer's path. What I loved about this book is the atmosphere. You've got Savannah's historic streets, creepy marshlands, buried secrets, and that constant feeling that someone is watching from the shadows. It's got that perfect Southern Gothic mood mixed with a seriously addictive serial killer mystery. If you're a fan of authors like Paula Hawkins, Riley Sager, J.T. Ellison, this is definitely one to add to your list. And the title couldn't be more fitting, because in this story, absolutely nothing is what it seems. Not What It Seems by Lisa Jackson is available June 30th wherever books are sold. So if you're looking for your next can't put it down thriller, go grab a copy and prepare to lose some sleep.
Eileen called Kim Richards a beast. Like,
of
I want to go there. I want to go to where Dorit took the van away and stranded Erica and
stranded,
Kyle.
In quotes. We do. Okay, someone sponsor this because it'll be entertaining. We go do this. And then we film iconic housewife scenes in each spot. So, like, you can call me a beast. We'll go to the summer house, Hampton's house. I know it's not international, but I'll throw my glass at you. You'll be Danielle.
Fuck off.
He's like that. My what? We'll do the Paige and Kyle fight.
Yes.
Is that what she says? My what? My
I
what?
I think something like that. I'm two-faced.
I'm
two-faced.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God.
It's, her in her little pencil skirt, her little pencil skirt.
She's in like a little white Prada outfit.
My what?
The whirl around and we get to see her spin on her heel in the house and go back
out
there.
Her little bob. Like, I mean. Not an individual, moving as one piece
moving as
of
one
helmet tree.
I mean, like, just perfect. Perfect. Because he goes, oh, you go have your moment. My what?
No, yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
My what? Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm two-faced. I'm two-faced.
God,
she could be on Rhode Island.
Paige, move.
One of these
Paige
days.
Paige, move to Rhode Island.
Housewife, please.
Paige, but also Lindsay. Okay, let's get into Love Island. We entered Casa Amor this week, and I just have to say, like, I could not be happier with the way we started things out. Just really immediately sending the girls into mass hysteria by bringing in that TV and showing them the heart rate challenge. And I'll say, I heard some people like being like, oh, well, that was a challenge. It was a challenge. Not really. There were no heart rate monitors to be seen.
No.
There was no winning or losing. That wasn't actually a challenge. That was a performance. That
well,
was an
also,
orgy.
The excitement at which all of them, and I know that this is like a thing, like they want the guys to like do their like, Cossack. They've been doing that since we've been watching, basically.
And they had the girls do it last year because they had that video of Huda like jumping with the suitcase.
But like, they were a little too excited.
I completely agree. And then the way they got there, like, there was just zero hesitation. And I think one thing that, like, drove me nuts about it is usually the heart rate challenge comes a little bit later and these people, they're all really comfortable with each other. Mm-hmm. I was like, you guys are way too comfortable with these girls you just met, telling them to go to work, baby, and, like, smacking their ass. Like, I
mean,
was repulsed
giving,
by it.
And I don't mean this in a derogatory way to the women, but, like, the way the guys were operating, it was giving strip club. Like, these guys all went to a strip club. Like,
well, on Vile Files,
someone,
Nick was like
someone
they,
else.
They obviously are patrons. Like, they were very comfortable in that setting. They knew what to do. They knew what to say. It was like watching them
well,
in their
also
natural
like
habitat.
The guys commenting when the girls, like, it's not like they're saying to the girl who's about to kiss them, go to work. Like, they're saying it to the girls when they're making out with everybody else.
It's literally just, it was disgusting to me. And
being a Casa girl is like a humiliation ritual.
No, literally. But also, they're bothering me tonight, not too much on Kenzie. You guys don't know her.
That's
Did
what
you hear
I said.
What they said when they were like, I just think Kenzie likes anybody who likes her. Well, guess what? There are a lot of people who like her. So
also, hey, isn't that what you guys are doing right now?
Exactly.
But I like the tweets that are like, hey, suddenly I realize like I'm protective of Kenzie because I can say what I want to about her.
We can say what we want to when we need to. You keep your dirty
you
mouth shut.
You guys don't know her. You don't know her.
I mean, you couldn't
but
pay me
also,
$1 million
she
to be a
had
Casa
me.
Girl. Number one, because I'm obviously meant for the villa. Number two, because I like what an awful experience.
It's like your assignment is to go in and as be the
it's,
least.
It's like on Temptation Island when they're like, now bring in the sluts. You know what I mean? Like, sorry. And you know what?
Clowns?
Some girls have come
bring
back from Casa
clowns?
Who I absolutely adore.
Wait,
and
next
I'm not
year, next
that.
Year when we bring in the Casa girls, I want bring in the clowns to play.
Send in the clown. It is send in.
But it is like
3, 2, 1, release them. The Casa girls go like, rah, 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 rah. They're on all fours.
They're foaming at the mouth.
Like, what did you do to them? Like, no, we're
they
turning
all,
things up.
They all
this
have
year.
Condoms like open. They're like ready.
They're over their heads. They're like, bleh, bleh. Everyone looks like they're like bald and they're like, all their skin is pressed down. Like, when, you know?
That's not really what I meant, but okay.
Anyway, no.
That's going to be on digital soon.
I know, and it's going to be extended, and I can't wait. Someone was like, talk about Obsession. I'm like, girl, we talked about it. We got our TikTok, lots and lots and lots of views talking about it. We love Obsession.
Kenzie split on the ground. Kenzie last night made me not even, I mean, like, that battle cry, number one, made me laugh so fucking hard. Because it's like,
well, she's walking back with the girls, and you see her go, and she does the Paige DeSorbo whirl on her heel like I just described. She walks back, she cooter slam, which, by the way, that's how we call it in the musical theater world.
Not here, not on
they're
Twitter.
They're calling it a clam slam.
Clam slam.
It's giving Rhode Island. I would love to ask Alicia Carmody, hey, what's a clam slam? A clam slam? I love a clam slam. Alexa, what's a clam slam? That's Alicia. Alexa, why is there a beetle in here? Anyway, she goes into a Cooter Slam, fist in the air.
It is.
Do you hear the people sing?
You can see.
Wait, imagine they all go, one day more, one more day to a rep.
You're right.
The flag is on fire. The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of Fiji.
Bryce is the only one who's come back. He's like, Trinity, I had to find you.
Casa is on fire. The girls are like, what's going on over there? And then we're like, wait, what's that? Something's moving. And it's,
do you hear the people sing?
It's Bryce alone.
Oh my God.
You know he's off book.
Oh, fuck. Oh, well, there's something so primitive about when you can tell Kenzie's about to do a clam slam. It's almost like she literally can't help it.
Phoebe and I discussed this in our FaceTime last night,
It's like when little toddlers, can't quite get their energy out.
Mm-hmm.
So they, do it and, they'll, hit something or they'll, move their hands crazy like that. Kenzie, it's excess energy.
Not to keeping a thespian today, but represent. It's giving. In theater, they say, in musical theater, actors start singing or dancing when words cease to be enough. When literally words are not enough. I don't have anything left to say. I have to break in a song or I have to.
Wait, guys, that's a line that Aria would have said when she's the assistant director to Ezra when she's explaining to people.
She's like, do you mind if
Hannah?
I just want to give Mona a couple notes. Okay.
Spencer's like, why would we break into song right here? Something serious is happening. It's the French Revolution.
Hey, Spence, words are no longer enough. Go. And scene.
Go.
And right there, and speak. That's what they do in theater. They're like, okay, we're right there. Get to that spot. That's what this is. Words aren't enough. And go.
And release them.
3, 2,
Yeah, exactly. And guys, this is why you need the video podcast. Anyway,
yar.
I think I said this to you on the FaceTime last night, but for our listeners here, there was a moment in last night's episode or in Tuesday night's episode that sent me into a laugh that I have not had in a long time. They're doing the challenge with each other, the competition. And I don't remember who was doing what. But the look that Kenzie gets on her face before she's about to clam slam, she gets it, but she can't clam slam here. So she, it's very Georgia.
Salute.
Sail.
This is her slamming it.
Kenzie instead just.
Then she goes into a backbend and starts crawling as fast as she can. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Everyone's up on the couch and they're like, ah! Squish it!
Kenzie shrieks in a way. Her eyes get super big, but her face isn't really moving. She's smiling and she is shrieking in a way that, I truly can't believe. And I rewound it multiple times. I was laughing so hard.
I can't even recall this moment, but
you have to go back. You have to go back because it is.
Even though I hated that challenge.
It was in place of her split that she did that scream.
Okay. But and I'm dead serious, if I have to see one more
foot challenge.
I'm throwing my telephone in the ocean. I'm throwing my iPad in the ocean. I'll do it. Oh, I don't do it. I'll throw my TVs in the ocean. I'll do it because I can't watch it anymore. What you do in secret is your business, but don't make it my problem.
Headline for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on Saturday. I'm seeing into the future. Saturday, June 27th. Blonde woman on the Roberto Clemente Bridge has a car full of electronics and with the trunk and all the doors open.
She's asking for help. She can't lift it.
between each dumping, she does what people are describing as a clam slam.
And she's going, sail! How is she doing that? She is walking like a crab but backwards all the way down the highway. Oh my God, we're gonna need backup here.
I'm also obsessed with Kenzie desperately wanting to be called a country girl. when she's from Kennesaw, Georgia. Hey, Caroline and I have been to Kennesaw, Georgia before. It's Atlanta.
That's not what they're like there.
It's Atlanta. It's like, it's a different town, but
it's Atlanta. My cousin went to school there.
Okay, I almost went to school there.
Okay. Almost. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, houlda. All right.
Houlda.
Hey, Houlda, by the way, like, are we gonna, like, talk about the weird thing you did?
I just don't understand how she's like, she gives Let Me Get on Instagram Live.
I know. Like, why can't you go all TFP with this and, like, go on live and air it out? Why do you gotta be making with my hair real long?
Speaking of which, TFP.
Oh, July, I think we're getting Bachelorette.
Let's ride.
Summer Fridays. Hey, no. Okay, so anyway.
Back to Love Island. So let's just talk about Thursday's episode.
Okay.
And we can kind of, I think as we go through the story of tonight's episode, we'll be able to talk about anything that stood out from the rest of the week. I have never been more horrified. Well, maybe not never. On this show, I have never been more horrified by the way these men are talking about women.
A few standout quotes from the evening's episode. First of all, this is from Tuesday, but Corbin saying, the Casa girls are so much better than the Villa girls. Are you, you can sleep with the fishes. How about that?
Let's talk about what Casey said. When he said, these girls are giving us what the Villa girls should have been giving us all along.
You think you deserve anything? You barely deserve water. Okay, Casey? Like, hey, Casey?
Like, I want to know. Hey, wait, Ariana. I want Ariana to come in there dressed as an Alcatraz prison guard. And I want her to say.
Dehydration challenge.
And I want her to say.
Fill the bay with alligators. Swim.
I want her to say, Caroline, read the magnet.
You are entitled to food, water, and shelter. Anything else is a privilege.
And that's then Ariana.
She says, and she crosses them all out and says, bye bye, Casey. And she kicks him out of over the wall. And she says, hope he can swim. And then we hear chomp, chomp. And then we hear ticking. And we're like, okay, we're in Neverland. Okay, it is the alligator with the ticker. And it took off Captain Hook's hand.
Oh, perfect.
Oh my God. What's going to be left of him? Casey. So Casey also says something tonight, talking about Anaya, where he's like, he goes, yeah, well, she's fucking kissing that guy. And they're like, well, isn't sincere? He goes, well, aren't you worried about what you're doing? And he goes, no, I think I have plenty of leeway
because
I was fucking speaking life into her fucking every day.
And here's what I also want to say about Casey tonight is he said, who's the girl he's with?
Amora. T-T. No, that's sincere. TT. Yeah. Also, him switching beds. I mean, like, you're fucking disgusting.
You're gross. His conversation with TT on Tuesday about sleeping with Sydney.
Disgusting.
I was like,
to me.
And the way that he just, like, that's how you know he's a fucking loser. The way he's like, it's like, dude,
he's like,
just
I
stand
got
on
aura
business.
Here, bruh.
When
he
like,
says bruh after every three words, and I can't with it.
He resents Anaya. So I said this to Caroline last night. He resents Anaya for not standing behind his door. And so now he's saying shit like, in the Villa, no one stands behind my door. But here, I got aura.
Bitch, no one would stand behind your door here either. They just like,
also,
it's like their literal
their
job to seduce you.
Their That's like and you, why and you guys here. Are falling for it.
Yeah.
That's
you actually
embarrassing.
Look stupid as hell. Bryce looks like a genius and you all look stupid. Bryce looks like Jimmy Neutron and you all look like Carl.
Well, or Sheen.
Or Sheen. There you go. Yeah, but Bryce, Phoebe, we were texting the situation in group chat, and she's like, now, why would they do this to Bryce? And that is a great question.
I'm like,
are you okay? Like, are you okay? Because you could see that Trinity was like, oh, I'm good. When she saw the picture of Bryce with the foot, she was like, sure.
She
I'm
wanted
sad
to
he's
feign
sucking
a
foot,
little
but
bit.
But it's also
yeah.
so obviously a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, but like, you can tell she's like, oh, I'm good to go.
I also just want to say to these women, you guys are so like your Casa guys that you picked are so much fucking better.
They are
than all of the men in the Casa combined.
I can't stop myself from thinking, what are their assignments? Like, what are the women told and what are the CASA guys told? Because I bet the women are like, okay, go in there, tempt them as much as you can.
Seduce them. You're the temptress.
Make them feel big and bad. Like, tell them that it's all about them. You're there to help them on their journey. It's not about you. For the boys, I feel like they're there to be like, okay, go be the absolute biggest show. Because, like, all of those guys at one point could have been a villa guy. And then that's gone to CASA and probably done the same thing, which I keep thinking about. So I'm like, what was the assignment? What was the direction given? Is it go be like actually a Prince Charming every single day to these women? Because that's the only, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's also mm-hmm. like, yeah, let's just get to the heart of it. Like, what's going to make the women swoon and what's going to make the men swoon? And right. those are their assignments. Like, I do think, like, because I just can't give too much credit to a man before I know him that well. So, but they do seem better. And I think that is part of it, is like that's their job. But regardless, they do. And it's like, you know, maybe those men could trick themselves when they treat the women really nicely. And then the women are like, oh, this is great. And things go really well. And they have a good relationship. They may be like, oh, I should try this in real life. You know?
Well, it's also like, I guess what the greater point I was getting at was like, Kayda seeing the picture of Zach and then having the reaction she did. I feel so badly for her, but I'm like, girl. Number one, the guy you're in bed with is hotter than Zach.
Yes.
Nicer than Zach.
I like when Kenzie was like, I think he's way hotter. She's like, way.
Kenzie's disassociation skills.
Kenzie's got some sense.
Kenzie's like, oh, you wronged me? No worries.
No, literally, I saw a video actually. That was like, we're all like shitting on Kenzie, but every time a guy is like, oh, I'm not into you, to Kenzie, she's like, okay, see ya. On to the next literally. One. Like, she does not. Like, she runs a strict program. She does not tolerate disrespect. She's like, whatever. And it drives her mad to see her friends accepting behavior that she would not accept for herself mm-hmm. and that she doesn't want them to accept. And so it is so funny because, like, although I do think her IQ is dangerously low and I think she went to nursing school and didn't really learn a whole lot.
The one thing I'll dock Kenzie on tonight was when they were on the dressing room and, like, Kayda was really upset and Anaya was really upset. And she, like, came in and, like, feigned a little bit too much of sadness. And I'm like,
she was like, well, of course I'm pissed at Corbin. Like, it hurts.
It's like, girl, just be there for them. No one here believes you're mad.
Corbin and what's her name are...
Now, this is what we really have to get into.
And I clocked this about Corbin, actually. Also, I do have to say one thing about Amber. Amber, I love you so much. I think Amber hasn't seen anyone talking about Corbin being AI. She thought that her niece texted her and was like, he's AI. And Amber's like losing her mind about it. She's like, oh my God, he's AI. That's so funny. And I'm like, it is so funny. But is this the first time you're hearing that?
I think we've said that to her.
I thought we kept this chat pretty hot, like pretty active. And one thing about Amber, she doesn't miss anything. Like, mm-mm. You send it, she's seen it, and she's ready to discuss, you know? Like, that's one of the greatest things
about
her.
It's the best. If I ever have something that I'm, like, dying to talk about right in that moment, that is the group chat that I go to.
That is the, exactly, 100%. And, like, it doesn't matter. Because also, Amber doesn't have to know anything about what's going on.
That.
She's so down to, like,
energy
match your energy.
Never falters.
Never.
Like, she's normally going in there with more energy than you even have.
She's someone who really is allowed to not have energy or be in a good mood. And like, she just always does. Like brings it. By the way, her birthday is on Saturday. So happy birthday.
Oh,
to her.
My goodness. Cancer
queen. I know.
Of course she's a Cancer.
I know.
Okay. Corbin. I clocked this initially when we met him because there was something, I don't remember who, maybe Melanie, he was having a chat with and someone was like, so like, what do you look for? And he was like, well, obviously, like, looks. And then, like, personality is kind of important. Like, consistently, looks have been his main thing, I've noticed.
Of course. And so tonight. And I don't think he's alone in that, but yes.
Tonight, he's talking to his CASA girl. And he is like, fuck. I did not know I could meet someone just like, there was someone just like me in this world.
Someone physically perfect just like
someone
me.
Someone perfect, like physically.
But it's so funny because she's like, I know.
She's like, not like, me either. Yeah. I never like, thought that either.
She's like, I keep looking for something. It's like, everything's so good. There's nothing wrong with you.
He's like, wait, me too. I've been doing that too. And like, when I was with Kenzie, it was like, oh my God, I find something
when
every time.
When he goes, you know, like, no shade to Kenzie, but sometimes I'd be like, you notice something and it gives you the ick.
Well, he said, not like the ick, but like, just like, ugh.
Oh, like that could be better.
Homie, like, what?
Oh my God, you need a system update. You need a system update. It's 2026. Don't say that shit. Like, you're on DV. Don't say that shit. Like, I just can't.
And I mean, his conversation with KC, I'm just like, do you guys know you're being filmed?
It's incredible. Because I love them, how Zach them immediately saying, the awareness. And this is the other thing. I do think Zach and Kata have, like, their relationship, I do think it has legs. Like, I know we don't like Zach. I do see them probably.
But it's different than
together.
The other relationships from the villa before.
Yeah. And Zach, the immediate, like, and here's how I know that he really does care for her is because he sees the picture of her kissing someone and he immediately goes, fuck, I know what she just saw.
Well, can I play devil's advocate?
Yeah, you can, but can I finish?
Yeah.
I think he's like, I know what she just saw and like, I know how she's feeling. And like, of course he shouldn't have done it in the first place. I will give him this much credit that was the first night. And I think after the first night, most of the guys kind of like cooled down a little, like at least Zach and Bryce cooled down a little bit.
I don't know if I think Zach did.
I think he cooled down a little. Because
he was kissing that girl today before she left.
But he's been like moving kind of slow, I think. Like slower than, you know what I mean? Like he's not acting like sincere. Exactly. Like look at the degenerates that we're comparing him to, you know? He's not fucking in bed, you know? And he could be. So like he's not. But I'm not giving him credit. But I do think that like the fact that his immediate thought was like, about her and how she would feel, and that's what was making him feel so bad.
Here's my devil's advocate, okay. Though.
Yeah, no, please.
This was after Alana was already removed from the villa.
Was it?
Yes.
I didn't hear Ian say it.
It was before this.
Okay.
So in my brain, Zach's like, fuck.
Oh, okay, that does change it.
I have to now backtrack and get back into, like, I need to start saying stuff, not just to curry favor with Kata eventually, but to curry favor with the audience.
No, it's a really good point.
But because Alana, it's like, sorry, I would feel the way that you feel if Alana was still there.
Yeah, no, okay.
But if I'm remembering correctly, I am fairly certain that she was already removed from the villa.
I just saw on Twitter, like, that clip of him saying that she's out of the Casa Amor, and for some reason I was like, oh, that's for like the next episode, like I just didn't, so I missed
tonight.
That but knowing that, I'm with you, I take back what I said. Bryce though, like
I feel like distraught. I feel like I'm watching like my older brother, younger brother. Like I feel like he's my brother.
No, I literally I keep being like, we can't do this another day. Like get them back to home to their women also, and their wives. I'm like get them back. I'm freaking out. I can't. I'm crashing out. I can't do this anymore. One more day,
guys. I need to tell you something real quick. Just a really quick side thing is that Brecken's listening to the podcast right now, and we were talking about how Caroline eventually would like to go on Big Brother. And Brecken said
sooner
to me,
rather than later, but yeah.
Brecken said to me, I mean, everyone is just going to fall in love with Caroline.
And instead of saying, right, Phoebe goes, well, I don't think so.
Well, I have a different...
no, they...
I have a very different understanding of the Big Brother audience than she does. And I'm just like, actually, unfortunately.
Has she watched Big Brother?
No.
But she will be this summer.
Yeah.
I'm excited for her.
The thing about Caroline is she does have the kind of personality that a certain sect of America
hates,
might find
repulsive.
Completely repulsive.
Completely disturbing.
I think when I told Caroline this initially, Caroline texted me back and said, no, the casuals are going to have a petition with 500,000 signatures.
Change.org is going to crash that day. Because the casuals on all the Facebook mom, boy moms are going to be like, and get her out of the house. And
she's a man hater.
She's a man hater. And she voted blue. Let's get her out, ladies. Let's get her out, Kim. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's happening on Facebook. On Twitter, they're like, all hail.
It is
on Twitter endless edits.
They are already making family posts of you, Leah, and Angela. Like, you are already in the family.
Yep. They are. And Janelle. They're like, yeah, those are my girls. And Dan, they're like, yeah. They're like, they get it. And but like, it's like, we like, get behind us. They're like, Caroline, get behind us. Yeah. Because like, we'll protect you from the casuals. So Brecken just like, she'll get that after this summer, I think. But I'm fully prepared to take that on. And if any Big Brother casting execs are listening, as I'm sure you are, that's not something I'm really scared of at all, in any way.
It's not going to shade Caroline's gameplay one bit.
No. I will not be changing who I am for the casuals. I can tell you that much.
If Caroline was going to change who she was for anyone, it would have already happened.
100%. I mean, and believe me, I've tried. I've tried. But unfortunately, this is kind of what it is. So got to work with it and put myself in the arenas where I'm going to excel, i.e. the Big Brother house. Okay. So I don't know like, why I'm like, doing all this.
I am just like, we couldn't.
Wait, are we going to be together? We're going to be together on Big Brother.
We will be for the premiere. Wait, we should have a party with Amber.
Okay, we should, but she might be asleep.
Everybody can come over at the deck. I'll make Smash Burgers or something.
If she can, but if not, we definitely will. But we should still, like, maybe we could go to her house during the day and do live feeds with Gemma.
Is that
and her.
The following Thursday after the 4th?
Yeah, the 9th.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe, like, we could do, well, feeds aren't up. You'll be gone before feeds are up.
I know.
God.
I know.
Thank God we're only going to have,
wait,
like...
Caroline, are you re-downloading? Are you resubscribing?
Yeah, I might even still be subscribed. Yeah, I will, though. I mean, of
Anthony
course.
Said you weren't.
Oh. Well, of course I will. Of course.
Sorry, as I have if. To clock in.
No. I'm working. Business expense.
It's like when you're a seasonal employee at a job and they're and like one of your old coworkers would text you and be like, are you, like, coming back?
Are you going
and
back?
It's like, well, yeah.
What else would I do?
Well, yeah, the money's good this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a busy season for me. Anyway, I'm really excited because tomorrow night we are back home. Bryce and Trinity will be back together. And, like, I mean, he's in love with her.
I mean,
the way that he was, like, listen, you know what? Just think it's there's something really beautiful about me just, like, believing in us and me just saying, like, I would rather die on the shield. Then go back and not give us a chance. Cause, like, if it works, dude, that's what true love is. Like,
that is,
that's not an exaggeration. That's what he said.
And what's crazy is, like, I believe, like, if you had told me he was gonna act like this earlier in the season, I would have maybe believed you about him. And I would have said, but Trinity's too cool for that. Like, she's like a cool,
no, she's
super
awesome,
but she
too.
Is like,
I didn't realize you guys.
Mm-mm. Exactly.
Went so hard for each other, and I love it.
I don't think they realized it either.
No. And, like, until I mean, they got I love there. How Bryce is just, like, I mean, these girls are pretty, but they're just, like, not Trinity. Like, I just can't stop thinking. Oh, one thing I do have to say, hey, Ronnie, the guy that Trinity's in a couple with, why don't you go sleep in Soul Ties? Why are you making her go sleep out there?
I know, literally. Be a gentleman.
Be a gentleman. That's, like, your
job. Mr. Yellowtooth.
We just talked about that. Mr. Yellowtooth, if you could try. Over the intercom, Mr. Yellowtooth.
Mr. Kirkified Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Well, I'm starting to get overheated. Here's what I want to say. We haven't even mentioned Next Gen NYC, which did premiere this week. If you guys haven't watched it yet,
I think they let the editors get. I think they let the editors get high before they edit.
They
the show.
Said, "Go get your Emmy." They said, "Whatever you want to do, go get your Emmy."
They're doing like. And they're, like, using word art. Like, they're doing weird shit on this show.
It's so fun. It's so good. I love what they're doing with the show.
And I'm also
I love the
like,
Gossip Girl tie-ins that we're getting.
It's going to be a real good season, I guess.
The drama.
Say.
I mean, these people are clocked in. It is a really good show. I know we've said, like, Southern Hospitality and Next Gen are two really, really amazing shows. And this is the second season of Next Gen. You guys really should get on this train, start watching it. If you haven't watched season one, I think you could even still get into this.
Oh, for sure.
From season two, but like you
they
only
do a really good job of
season.
Explaining everything that's happened, but also it's not a big undertaking to rewatch season one.
And it's really enjoyable.
I will say The Valley isn't the best show on Bravo by any means, but it is an enjoyable watch every
time
I watch
it. I haven't really been like keeping up as much with it, but
it
is
good. Guys, and I don't know if you caught this last week, but, like, there was an extended version of the of the Summer Friday episode last week on Patreon, where we did talk a little bit about a certain part about the valley.
Oh yeah.
And it was a really funny conversation.
Yeah,
but what I will
put,
say
we
is
we couldn't put on streaming. And
here's my thing about Lala, because I am team Lala this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying her more than I think I've enjoyed her in her entire stint on Bravo.
We were saying she's a drill sergeant. You know, she's coming
exactly.
in. She's like, shape up.
She's a voice of
and
reason.
And I love that.
And she, but she's also like got a little like whip in hand. You know what I mean? But
100%. She's like, all she has to do is walk in the room, look at Danny, and go.
And
Danny straightens up. Yeah, exactly.
But she, one thing I will say is like in this, I don't know if you watched this week's episode, but there's a moment where
she says, you're going to get popped.
Do you want to get popped?
You want to get popped?
Ariana's like, I don't want to get popped.
You want to get popped or you want to get popped?
I don't want to get popped.
Oh, I was born fucking cool.
I can't, I mean, thank goodness Bregan's rewatching it because now I'll just like be able to watch it all.
It is so, you know what's really fun watching this Roni rewatch is I keep being like, okay, and like every line could be an iconic line, but I love when I hear one and I'm like, cartwheels have no price. When I hear that out of Kelly Bensimone's mouth and I Google it and it's like, yeah, people clung on to that pretty. And I was like,
dude,
I mean,
Kelly's fucking crazy.
Cartwheels have no price.
Kelly is crazy.
I'm like, I mean, and Andy's like, you do seem like pretty disconnected from reality. She's like, I like my life. I'm like, well, yeah, I bet. You don't live on planet Earth.
She's like, I just don't like weird fucking girls. Like weird, like she's weird. She's weird.
When she
you're
meets
weird.
Bethany outside the bar after they're like meet, when she's like, I'm up here down here.
Go meet your imaginary boyfriend.
Yeah, and she goes, oh my god, you are so crazy. Okay, I got a date. Bye. Like what? Anyway, it's just so insane. But it's fun to watch the beginning seasons of Roni and be like, oh, wow, I am collecting culture here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I
want to
catch them all. I'm going to watch all the franchises. I'm going to make my way through all of them.
Should we do next? Should we do Atlanta next?
Yeah, I think we should. I was going to say that.
Because Nene's coming back, I think, right?
And I just love Phaedra and I love Portia and I would love that. Did you see Portia on Z-Way? And Z-Way met her match?
It was like Z-Way, you should have known.
It was so good.
It was so good.
It was so good.
I feel like Z-Way was genuinely like caught off guard.
She was a little bit shook and Portia was like, I mean, she
hey, if you're going to say what you're going to say in your little questions, I'm going to say what I'm going to say in my big answers.
I mean, she's like, yeah, I've been on Housewives for years. You don't think I'm ready for Z-Way? Like, it's just, and now, next, Alicia Carmody, Z-Way.
Yes, need. They're just going to have
scared.
A key, though.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway.
The last thing I wanted to say about the Valley was I am a little bit like Lala as the sober person. I'm proud of you and your sobriety. It's so good. So wonderful that you're sober. I do think there's a bit of a lapse in judgment when we're picking these fights when you know Danny's drunk or when you know everybody in the room is drunk and you're bringing up like this week's episode, she brings up Janet had told her that he had liked some Instagram slideshow where like one of the slides said that they thought Jason was like a cuck.
Mm-hmm.
And Janet had a really big fucking issue with that. But she explained it
like
to
like I said, I'm bisexual. I've never acted on it.
Obviously. And Michelle
but if
is my
I wanted
dream
to,
woman.
Jason would be happy for me. And that doesn't make him a cuck. That's Janet.
But she explained it to Lala as like that was the post and essentially Danny had said that Jason was a cuck, which isn't exact. I don't want to defend Danny and Nia too much, but like sometimes I'm like, Janet, you're distorting reality.
I mean, well, that bit. Is Janet's whole thing. So
exactly.
Like, here's the thing.
Lala,
I don't want to defend Danny and Nia too much, but I certainly don't want to defend Janet.
Janet.
Yeah.
But Lala only brings it up to Danny after they've been drinking all day and it's 2 in the morning. And Lala, you're the only sober person in the room. And now all these drunk people are fighting because of something you brought up.
I do feel like where Lala misses the mark sometimes, like oftentimes, like what she is saying 9 times out of 10 is
is valid and is honestly mm-hmm. intelligent and smart and poignant. However, her timing isn't great because I think she does have that impulse control issue, and she does like, so she like, it's like for her, it's like, yeah, you're going to get popped whenever it strikes her. She's gonna like, she can't, once she gets to a certain point, she, there's no holding it in. Right. I relate very much to this. It's very hard to like hold it back, even though it might not be the right time. And then you lose a lot of your credibility because of the time and the place and the context and all those things. And it's
and
like,
in the carnage.
Now I don't remember the validity of what you said, even though you really did have a point. But because of the situation that you now look, you know, you lost it. So I agree with you, but I am really liking her on yeah. the valley. It's good. So, okay. We are going to, on the Patreon, we're going to be discussing The Return of the Villa. So you're going to want to hear that. We're going to be discussing Next Gen, which we're very excited about. We will probably be discussing part two of the Rhode Island reunion. And then, of course, anything else that comes across our desks in the next few days before July 1st. Our next episodes are going to be live and in person, so you're going to get extra giggles, but there won't be video. Remember that. And then next Friday, we're not going to have a Summer Fridays episode because I'm marrying a couple. So what's more important than that? All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about in our Other People's Business podcast, Popcast. Go listen to our Gossip Girl recap from Tuesday, and we will see you next week.
And
of course I did.
Alexa, why is there a beetle in here?
Of course I did.
Just like become this, just becomes like the junk drawer of our vocal stems.
Killed him.
I love it.
Of course.
Killed him, of course.